Are you absolutely exhausted right now? Is your head spinning with ideas trying to find what your next video is going to be? That's the one that's really, really going to change your channel. Are you looking on social media and all you see is success around you, except your channel isn't winning? Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you may be suffering from burnout. Yes, the thing that we read about online that big creators go through, well, guess what? We all go through it at some stage or another. What can you do about it? How can you get beyond the burnout? How can you see the light at the end of the tunnel? Well, that's exactly what today's episode of Tube Talk is all about. Let's do this.
Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
And welcome to another episode of Tube Talk. My name is Liron Segev. I am your host. I am a tech blogger, a YouTuber, and the director of customer success here at vidIQ, where every day we help creators big and small level up their channels, get more subscribers, more views in less time. Unfortunately, I have seen burnout happening time and time again. Massive channels having millions of subscribers, you think they've got it made, and they suffer through the exact same thing as a very, very small channel who's trying to level up their channel and get to those millions of subscribers. We all go through a foggy patch where nothing seems to be working. So today's guest on Tube Talk is Josh Zimmerman from The Creator Coach, who works with influencers and content creators, helping them navigate through this fogginess and this haze of creator burnout, mental block, and what to actually do. Josh, welcome to Tube Talk.
I'm excited to be here.
Josh, let's start at the beginning. Creator Coach, that sounds extremely, extremely specific. Give us the tweetable version. What is Creator Coach? What do you do?
Wow, tweetable version. Is that now, what, 240 characters? So no, I have a little bit more. Creator Coach is all about helping creators in their life, as well as in specifically burnout, and helping them really move from point A to point B, and see what's getting in the way. You know, one of the things that I realized when I had a lot of creators coming to me back in 2017, 2016 about burnout was, and all the articles, was everyone was talking about it and no one was doing anything about it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see anyone out there, really addressing the issue. And so I decided I was going to.
Okay, well, you hit the nail right on the head, right at the get-go, which is burnout. We hear that word constantly. We hear it in the news, our social media feeds, when we speak to fellow creators at events. So let's just define, what is burnout?
So burnout is starting to become very common in every single circle, but we're hearing it more and more with creators of all types. Mm-hmm. But really what that means, and it means a lot of different things to different people, but really the baseline is that you just do not have any more energy or will to move forward with creating content.
Do you find these different levels of burnout? Could I be a little bit burnt out? Can I be a lot burnt out?
Oh, absolutely. So you know, there really is, I came up with a burnout timeline, right? And so there's like four stages that we can really identify, which is preventative. And that's really like, again, the baseline where you're managing stress and avoiding the symptoms of burnout. The next bucket is onset, right? Where there's stress and other factors begin to increase pressure and the symptoms of burnout. And then we really quickly move to what I call the death spiral, which is where you really succumb to the pressures and begin to that begins to alter the path, and you question directions and encounter more stress, and that just doesn't stop because there are no boundaries in a lot of places. A lot of creators don't have a lot of boundaries because that's what you do. You yep. create. There are no boundaries to your creativity. So when things start to spiral out of control, it's really hard to find something to grasp onto. And once you've done that spiral, the next one is the most unfortunate, which is the flat line. So if you think of the EKG, you have flatlined, and that is you've lost all ability to create due to the numerous and previous factors that I talked about. And burnout is a key factor in the lives of almost every creator. Anybody is on this timeline somewhere right now. My job is to help them move through those timelines or those different timelines and hopefully bring them to preventative, to where they start to notice those symptoms and be able to address those before things start to go downhill quicker.
Before we get to the
flat line.
Well, okay, because I mean, it makes sense, because as creators, we always on. We don't take a break. We always thinking of the next content. We're thinking of this thing called the algorithm. And we constantly always on this hamster wheel of constantly being on. I mean, it's not like you go to work, you do your shift, you go home, and then you're done. This creator life almost follows you wherever you go. Are there any specific causes that you know that we could be, that causes us to start saying, okay, I'm starting to hit the first stage of burnout?
Well, what you just said is exactly correct. And I would take it a little bit of a step further, is that what a lot of people don't understand is that being a creator, just like you said, it's not a job where you get to, at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, you get to turn the lights off and go home. The thing that people really don't understand outside of the industry, and even inside the industry, is that you don't turn off, because what you're putting out there, even if it is a sliver of your life, that's you. And so that is, you are always on. So there's nothing that is sustainable when you are constantly on. You just can't turn it off, especially when it is a part of you that you are putting out into the world at such an intimate level. So one of the first things is to be aware of that. And if you're tired, and if you start to stress, which this job is extremely stressful, and you start to lose motivation, that's when it's good to take a step back and to say, okay, what's going on? What am I feeling, and what is happening that is causing me to not want to do what I normally do or lose enjoyment in that?
Right. Well, I think that's an important point. One of the first questions I always say is, are you passionate enough about the subject, or are you doing it for the views? And it's a big distinction between the two, because those who love what they do and they can wake up every morning, cannot wait to get in front of that camera, or cannot wait to write that blog post or post those pictures, those are the people who have got the right mindset coming in, and probably longevity, versus the people who are playing to the algorithm. What are people into today? I'll make those videos today. I'm going to try build up my channel based on a trend, because then you're on a very fast pace to that burnout.
We're all chasing views.
Right.
It's an ego thing, right? It makes you feel good. And so the bigger you get, the more numb you become to them. But those numbers do equal your income. And I highly encourage everyone to also branch out and diversify your income, just in case something turns with the system. And I'm using big air quotes, algorithm.
And not in case, because it will change.
It will change, right? Yeah. You'll go from making, I know someone who went from making $50,000 a month to five overnight. Yep. That's going to shake you to your core.
Yep.
Anyone that is chasing views, I haven't really worked with anybody who is, and I wouldn't advise anybody to ever start a channel just to chase views. The people that I work with and the creators that that have huge success are people who are creative at their core. And ended up starting on YouTube just because it was an outlet. It wasn't to get famous.
Right.
If you know, you are out there and you are trying to do that, there's other ways to do that.
Yeah, but people do fall victim to those vanity metrics at a point.
100%. I mean, no, all the time.
Right.
100%. And they are corrosive because of the fact that it is these numbers that, and here's the big thing, people forget that those numbers are actual people.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? And so when you take a step back or you lean in, mm-hmm. and you look at, you know, somebody says, I only got 40,000 views on this video. Right. And I go, okay, well, how many, do you know how many people Madison Square Garden holds? And they get 50, 60, 70,000. And I said, try 25,000 people. And I go, how long did it take you to get those 30,000 views? Well, it took me a day or two. Well, you're up there at the top of selling out Madison Square Garden. So you've surpassed most celebrities that are trying to have events at Madison Square Garden.
Completely. So, on that point, on the subscriber numbers as well, I often see in our chats where people say, oh, I only have 300 subscribers. I only have 1,000 subscribers. And I say to them, great. If 1,000 people were coming for dinner tonight, is that a lot or a little bit? And when you start making it real, and we tell them that when we speak on stages in front of 1,000 people is considered a big stage, it becomes real because those are eyeballs. Those belong to people. It's not a number. It's a person.
Right. And that's the thing that makes this journey really difficult, because a lot of the time when you start to really grow, there is a wall that goes up of everybody wants access to me. So, and being a creator can sometimes be pretty lonely because you're just staring into a camera. What people don't understand is on the other side, what we call is breaking the fourth wall. You're looking right into the camera, and that person, that viewer, that fan that is watching you is having a one-on-one dialogue with you. And so you have somebody who is creating content on their own, and there's, you know, a lot of eyeballs. And then when it's pretty an isolated life. And then when you go out into the real world, you're bombarded with all these people.
Right.
That's a shock to the system as well. But going back to your point, what I encourage everybody to do, anyone who says about subscribers, it only takes one. It only takes one. And I can't illustrate that better than, in 2014, I was at YouTube Nation, which was the official daily show of YouTube. Mm-hmm. And when that came to an end and people were, our fans were really upset, I read a comment, and I didn't read comments a lot on the videos, but one of them was from this little girl who said, because this was a daily show, she said, I don't know what I'm going to do every day when I go to get chemo.
Yep.
That knocked me over.
Completely.
And I've never forgotten that to this day. And that's the power of somebody making a comment or watching you. You as a creator or as a other viewer have no idea how much you are helping people that are watching your content.
Yeah, and it's funny how those comments stick with you. There's a person that I interviewed a little while ago, Joe Scott. He's got this amazing science and question channel. And his story is very much the same, where he made videos and he stopped for a while. And then when he made his new video, he said, I'll never forget it. It was Mr. Electric Popsicle, something like that, some username that he knows. And he said, where have you been, man? I've been waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, from that day onwards, he made every single video for that user.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he had it in mind, because he made that connection. Because it's, at the end of the day, it's a person watching your content. But then once we have that amount of stress on top of us having to deal with brands and having to deal with monetization and algorithm changes and thumbnails and titles and that stress becomes ridiculously compounded and compounded, and we do not take a break. Is that one of the causes of burnout?
Yes, but there's another big piece of it, and it's actually chemical related. So when you are stressed, adrenaline is released, and you only have so much adrenaline in your system, right? And when that happens, and you run out of adrenaline, it sort of taps out. It's like we don't have any more, and then chemical that replaces it is cortisol. Cortisol is the chemical that induces fight or flight or freeze. And when that happens, blood rushes from your extremities and goes to those core organs that you need to survive. What it also does is it usually goes to the right side of the brain. I mean, it goes all over, but the right side of the brain is the creative side. And the first thing that it does is it kills creativity, because that's not something you need to survive. You need to know how to climb a tree if a bear is chasing you.
Right. But
this is what's happening. You get stressed, your adrenals are empty, cortisol is in there, and it's literally blocking you. The chemicals are literally blocking those neurotransmitters from being able to have you create. So now you stress even more.
Yes.
Because you can't come up with any ideas. More cortisol is released. You can't think of any more ideas. You get more and more frustrated, and you start expending so much energy trying to take one step, and you're putting even more stuff in front of you that's blocking you from taking that first step. That's when burnout happens, because you have no more energy left, because there are actual chemicals in your brain that are stopping you from being creative.
It almost becomes that deer in the headlights situation where you just don't know what to do next.
Well, it's a death spiral.
Right.
Because you can't move forward. My job is to help bring those cortisol levels down, help with relaxation, which also de-stresses and flushes that cortisol out. Which then allows those neurotransmitters to start sparking again. So that's one of the biggest things that people are not aware of, is that, and what feeds into all of that is not having boundaries and not having some kind of structure. Because the creative life, the creator life, is really structureless.
Yes, definitely.
And I say that with a big asterisk, because you do have, you know, there's different things that you need to do. But, you know, listen, when there's a TV show, when there's a movie, anything else in entertainment, there's something called a hiatus. It's when you go on break. The industry has built that in on the entertainment side, on the traditional side, because you can't be running all the time. And if you can, you just need a huge crew to be able to do that. The other piece is that everybody on set knows that they have a specific job, and they know when what they're supposed to do, and when they're done, and when they get paid. There is still creativity and there's still burnout in there. But if you are the star of a show, you know you show up to set at 6 a.m., hear your lines, their hair and makeup's coming in, you can go get some food now. From this time to this is a call sheet. This time you're going to be doing this scene. Right. It may be an extremely long day that you may burn out and run out of energy, but there's a structure to it. Our industry doesn't have that.
At all. And especially since a lot of us are, you know, we're rowing our own boat in this sea of YouTube, and it's a lonely world. We in front of a camera, usually from a little home studio, a little home office, sometimes even in the bedroom. So there really isn't a separation of church and state. There isn't a separation of here's my work, I'm now physically leaving to go to my personal life.
Correct. You're operating in a vacuum. And my job is to snap both of those ends of that vacuum. If you think of like a vacuum, like a little glass tube, and you're in there, my job is to snap both ends. and to bring some oxygen in there for you to be able to look around and realize that there are things going on that you didn't even know were happening. So we can all talk about it with each other, but until we get to the bottom of it and actually move into it and figure out what's going on, nothing's going to happen to move forward.
Oh, okay. So Are there any warning signs that I should be looking out for to say, whoa, it's time to get off for a little bit, take a little bit of a break?
Well, when you're tired.
Okay.
It really is. And there is a worry of, I have to put this out. I have to get this out. As soon as, and that's normal, but as soon as stuff, you start to lose that spark, you start to feel that candlelight or that little, the starting to dim a little bit. That's when red flags should be going off. And everyone knows when that's happening. You know, it's just whether you choose to be aware of it or not. So those signs are not wanting to upload, stressed, always being sick, not feeling motivated, not enjoying what you're doing. It's not that hard to figure it out, but it's really hard to do yourself.
Well, if I do want to take a break, how will my audience react? How will the algorithm react? How can I rebound from that? You hear horror stories of people taking a break and never been able to rebound. On the other side, you hear people saying, I've took a 3-week break and it was the best thing I could ever have done for myself. Is burnout almost inevitable for everyone at some stage?
Yes. Yes. And all of those factors that you just talked about that you are experiencing are all little warning signs to examine it, because none of those have boundaries on them.
The highs and the lows are quick. You're going to have an amazing video. It's going to get great reviews, lots of comments, lots of subscribers, lots of engagement. You're so pumped. You're going to make your next one. If the next one doesn't perform, you say, okay, I'm going to do, maybe it's a glitch. Maybe it's the algorithm. Yeah, make another one. And if that one, God forbid, tanks, this is it. Like, I'm giving up. I don't know what I'm doing. Woe be me. Is the highs and lows that steep, which is maybe pushing a lot of us to kind of watch those metrics so carefully?
Yeah, because they're a reflection on you.
Right. It's personal.
It's you. It's somebody saying, a million people saying, yeah, we want to watch you. And then 20,000 people saying, we want to watch you. Now, those are massive numbers.
Right.
But it doesn't matter, because it's a reflection of you. And what my job is to separate your self-worth from those numbers.
Okay. And I like that. I think too many people, too many creators don't see themselves as a brand. They see themselves personally as a person all the time.
Which they should, and it's totally understandable. But there needs to be some perspective, and you need to be talking to somebody that says, well, wait a second, what's really going on here? And some people don't want to admit it, and some people, and that may not be the case. Again, the reason I love what I do and that is that there is no right answer to every single question. Because everyone is individual, just like every channel is individual, because it's coming from a somebody. Mm-hmm. They are an individual. So the solutions are really tailored to that person. The most important thing, though, is that every single creator that I've ever talked to. I really don't like using the word creator, even though that's it feels like, we're looking at a zoo. Every single person that is in the YouTube or digital world feels like they are the only ones that have this problem, even though they talk to all, they have a lot of friends or this or that. When it's one on one with me, it usually comes up as, I'm the only one that has this problem, Josh. And I'm like, wow, actually, no, you're not. And those are those kind of aha moments,
right,
where you don't feel so alone anymore, because this is a very, very lonely job. There's a lot of ups and downs, but it is, for the most part, a lot of people have no idea. Your fans have no idea how long it's going to take you to produce this podcast.
Exactly.
They're going to listen to it for, you know, however long it is, but they're not going to know how long was the runtime. How long did it take you to find a time for us to talk? How long is it going to take you for it to edit? How long is it for you to put in the metadata? How is it long for you to find the story and the arc that we've talked about and cut the other pieces out? So a 30-minute or an hour piece of content, it may take 10, 20 hours to produce. And so all of those 19 hours, let's say it takes 20 hours, is energy that you've put in that nobody sees, nobody knows about, except for you. And what you put out in the final product is a reflection of all that hard work, but everybody watches and judges that one piece, 1 hour,
right,
when you've done 20 times the work. So if you don't get a lot of feedback, positive feedback, or a lot of downloads or whatever it may be, it's going to hurt 20 times more. And so the other piece is being aware of, you know, where am I finding my happiness from? And it goes back to, why am I doing this? Do I want to be doing this podcast because more people it's going to help more people? Is there a little bit of ego in there? And when is it going to stop? If it stops being fun, I need to examine what is going on that is creating it, making it not fun at all. And again, it goes back to, all it takes is one. And a lot of times, those people that it makes the biggest change in their life, you will never hear from.
Flip side of that, it takes one of these troll comments,
yep,
to throw you off your game completely from some random, and that's enough to throw you off to say, well, you see, that just confirms I'm wasting my time.
I would never say to somebody, oh, I understand what you're going through when it comes to that. But man, it stings.
Yeah.
And I've been there with creators when it happens and when they read it. And when they choose now to stop reading their comments because they don't want to come across one of those landmines, which is what it is. It is a landmine, and it just ruins you. And it is so hurtful. And it takes everything out of you. And we focus on that. Because it sort of comes from our insecurities, and we have to remember to look at this and go, okay, wow, that hurts. How am I going to process this? How am I not going to just push it aside, but how am I going to process it? And so there's a lot of different ways to do that. That's one of the things I help my clients do, because that also leads to burnout, because it's like, I don't want to hear anything more, even if it's just one. I don't read my comments anymore because I had one bad comment, which you will have, which is now is deafening to the hundreds of thousands of other comments that are positive that you are not able to see, because this troll, this person who is hurting more than you, decided to put something out there and hit enter. And I don't want to minimize that. It is extremely hurtful. You know, there was a creator that I knew that I was managing at the time. And I saw somebody take a swipe at them. And this was somebody who was trolling them for a while. And I just saw red. I was so angry. And it wasn't even about me. It was about my creator that I care about so much. And I reached out to them and they said, yeah, this person's been trolling me. And what they decided to do was one of the things that I haven't seen anyone else do before. And they had finally had it. This creator had finally had it with this troll. And they decided to pin this person's comment to the video, to the top.
Oh, wow.
And I said, why did you do that? And he said, Josh, my fans will take care of it.
Huh,
and,
nice.
And And his fans just took this person apart.
Yeah, see, you forget about the army that is loyal to you, the fans who love you for that, your content has been following you around social media, has been constantly engaging with you because all you see is red. It's like that rag to the bull. Just focus on that one item, forgetting the entire audience around that.
Which is normal. That's yes. Okay. That's not something to be fixed. What it is to be made aware of and then figure out how are you going to move through it.
You know, everybody goes through some stages of some of this, and then maybe it's a little bit more extreme. And mm-hmm. as they get caught up in that vortex, and as you said, spiral, mm-hmm. and you want to be able to avoid going into that flat line when you just hang up your camera and you're done. Mm-hmm. Is there anything we can do that maybe helps me deal with some of these issues before I'm saying, okay, I now actually need help because I cannot do it myself?
I would say the first thing is to reach out to me. I'll really talk to anybody. Just shoot me an email and happy to talk to somebody. When it comes to those warning signs, it really is, you know, it is simple as when things just don't feel right. And the solution is usually you can't do this alone. It's a lonely process, but you need somebody to talk to that you can trust, that doesn't care how famous you are, or how much money you have, or how many views you have, and actually genuinely cares about you. And that is able to tell you and ask you these thought-provoking, powerful yes. questions mm-hmm. that may bruise a little bit, but they work and they help, because there is no, oh no, if I say this is going to ruin my friendship with the person, my business relationship. I don't have that. So I think it's important to have people in your life that are objective.
Yeah, support is where it's at the end of the day.
It's all about support. And it is not something to be ashamed about. It is, if you want your business to grow, because this is a business, then I strongly suggest examining what do you need to do to make that happen. And a lot of the times that is talking to somebody that understands it, that you don't have to explain it to, and figuring out a plan.
Okay, that's a lot to take on, but I think it's a very, very important message. And I think that a lot of people need to stop and maybe reflect. Josh, if people want to find you, if they want to get more information, what's the best way to do that?
The easiest way is just to email me, josh@creatorcoach.com. There is no barricade to getting to me. To reach out, you can go to website creatorcoach.com as well to see the different testimonials and have to learn a little bit more about what coaching is and what it's not. I think it's really important to state which I didn't do at the top, is that there's a very, very big difference between therapy, consulting, and coaching. Therapy is where we really look at the past and you're diagnosed by the DSM-5 by a medical professional. Mm-hmm. Consulting is that somebody's paying you because you know more than they do about a certain situation and they're telling you what to do. And coaching is about looking forward, not looking back.
Absolutely love it. Thank you very much for all your time and this amazing interview, amazing discussion. We will have all the show notes written up. Josh, thank you very much for spending time with us.
Absolutely. I'm on all the other social media platforms too. So, but the quickest, if you need to get to me, shoot me an email.
We all know a creator who needs help. We all know someone who you can see the warning signs. Share this episode with them. Let's help each other out. We're one happy creator family and we look out for each other. Josh, thank you again. And we'll catch you on the next episode of Tube Talk.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk, brought to you by VidIQ. Head over to vidIQ.com/tubetalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video making day.